Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. I'm your host, Cyril Gerald Quinn, taking you for the next hour as we discuss the world of sports on this 9th of August, 2014. The call number, as always, is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn or go to my website, CyrilGeraldQuinn.com. Change, change, change. That, to me, seems to be like a theme running around in the world of sports, and with two major issues, with one major issue and one major performer. Looking at what's going on at the PGA Championship, with Rory McIlroy just continuing his dominance as he just takes a sport by the throat. Right now, McIlroy was 4-under for the round, nine under for the tournament. Only one shot ahead of Jason Day and Jim Furyk. But if you've watched McIlroy this year, particularly the last couple of tournaments, you know that he has become the ultimate front runner, seeking a fourth major tournament. Only Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods would have four majors quicker at a younger age than McIlroy if he's able to win a second PGA Championship. Of course, he's coming off a British Open win. And the only major he hasn't won, of course, is the Masters. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, these things tend to happen in sports, where you see the rise of a superstar coincide with the demise of another. And in this case, it's not just the rise of McIlroy, but and not just the demise of just any superstar, it's just the demise of one of the great athletes in the history of sports, not golfers in the history of sports, one of the great athletes in the history of sports, in Tiger Woods. That's not a coincidence. You know, we saw Magic and Michael in the early 90s or in 91. Magic, Michael Jordan defeats the Lakers. The Lakers, you know, don't go on to win another championship for almost a decade. The Bulls win six in basically eight years. That's how it happens in sports. You know, you can go to the Oilers you can go to hockey in the 80s with the Islanders and Oilers. Once the Oilers were able to get over that hump, they go on and win five Stanley Cups in a decade. The Islanders never heard from. They say the most evident thing in life is change, and again, we're seeing it in the sport of golf, because what Rory McIlroy is doing, you know, because I don't know how many majors he's going to win, but right now he is the guy in the PGA in terms of the golf. Continuing that same theme in the world of college sports, you see finally the NCAA has to pay the piper. Of course, it was a ruling yesterday that the Edelman ruling, after 5 years of court battles and back and forth, ruled in favor of the players getting compensated for their likenesses and being eligible to be compensated for their likenesses. Still, this won't kick in until 2016. Still, a player can only get up to $5,000 a year. But this is, I mean, this was, you know, the door is open now. The door is open, and the NCAA, as we know it, is done. It's finished as we know it. You saw that coincide with the decision to have the five power conferences basically almost police themselves and have close to full autonomy. I'm talking Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten, ACC. Big 12. And again, this was going to happen sometime. I mean, this was coming down the pike years ago. This was going to happen, and now you have these two events that happen in the same week. And you know, it could be 5 to 10 years from now. You could see players getting paid and getting treated like professionals, like the professionals they are. They are professionals. Okay. The idea of the amateur athlete is a joke in the NCAA, and we know this. But for now, it will just be football and basketball players eligible for these particular benefits. They can receive up to $20,000 during their time in school. They can receive up to $40,000 after graduation. This will not start until 2016. Again, you're going to see a situation where down the road you'll probably see these power schools fighting over players in terms of offering contracts. That's coming. You know what? I can give you $100,000. You know what? We'll give you $200,000. That is coming down the road. That is right around the corner. How the NCAA, how these schools will be able to govern themselves is another story. Because they're there's 65 Power Five conference schools. All of them don't agree, and all of them are not going to agree. But you can figure that out. There's enough time to get that situated. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. Big show, a lot going on in the world of sports. PGA Championship. Still have some preseason football. Big news in USA basketball. We'll talk about that and continue our NFL preview on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review. Some great pennant races going on in baseball right now. We'll talk about that over the course of the show. As no division leader has more than a 5-game lead. I think the Baltimore Orioles have the biggest lead at 5 games in the AL East. They continue to play great baseball. Not that often I'll talk about tennis amongst the swarm of football season and Major League Baseball pennant races, but if you get the chance, this afternoon, I don't know what time it comes on. I'm thinking about 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. There's the Rogers Cup in both men's and women's. It's one of the bigger tournaments in the hardcore season as the players get ready for the gear up for the U.S. Open, part of the U.S. Open series up in Toronto. And Venus and Serena Williams will meet today in the semifinals. Now, when's the last time they've played. I think they've played at least once this year. I'll have to check that. But this could be the last. I mean, in a big event, yeah, I mean, this could be the last time they ever play, to be honest with you. I mean, both of them are nearing the ends of their careers. I wouldn't be surprised if Venus retired after this year, to be honest. And I haven't gotten any information about that, or don't know something that you probably wouldn't know about that. But I just, she's just kind of been floating around for the last couple of years. I don't know if she hasn't been playing a lot of tournaments. Serena, of course, still number one player in the world, but we've seen a lot of chinks and has not won a Grand Slam this year. We've seen a number of chinks in the armor with, other players getting better, age. She's 32 years old, so at some point she was going to her game and just she was going to, like, fall off at some point. But the fact that they're meeting in a tournament, late in the tournament, in the semifinals, I mean, I think it's a big deal at this point in their careers. Again, this could be the last time we see them play against each other in a meaningful match. And, this is not a Grand Slam, but this is, a step below, but this is not that far from being a Grand Slam. This is a big-time tournament, major tournament that all the great players, Roger Federer and Djokovic and got Nadal. I don't know if Nadal's playing in this tournament. I think he's still has question marks about where he'll play in the U.S. Open. But, Federer, Djokovic, guys like that will be playing these tournaments on both sides, on men's and women's side. So keep your eyes on that, certainly, for today, as far as, could be the last time we see Venus and Serena Williams compete against each other. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will talk Major League Baseball. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review as we discuss the world of sports. Some baseball action last night. The Orioles played a game of home run derby against the St. Louis Cardinals, 12-2, six Oriole home runs. Chris Davis, Adam Jones got into the act, just knocked around the Cardinals. Chris Tillman basically shut down St. Louis, and now the Orioles find themselves at 66-49 on the season, four games ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays and Yankees. I think the Yankees are maybe a half game behind Toronto, or something like that, right there as well. But Orioles playing great baseball right now, and that's, listen, they could score And coming to the season, we knew how good of an offensive team they were going to be. They can hit home runs and score with anybody. The pitching has really picked up in the last couple of weeks. And that's enabled them to get this big lead, which right now is the biggest lead in baseball at 5 games. Atlanta continues to dominate its dominance over the Nationals, 7-6 over the Nats. But despite that, the Nationals still have a 3.5-game lead on Atlanta in the NL East. You see, the Yankees, Yankees taking out Cleveland 10-6. Derek Jeter passing the legendary Honus Wagner for sixth, I believe, on the all-time hits list. So Jeter continues to rack up the accomplishments as he's nearing the end of a certain first ballot Hall of Fame career. Great race in the NL Central with Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis, basically separated by three games, and even Cincinnati. Just five games out, despite the fact that they haven't played well this season. So you get those pennant races with more than two teams. I mean, those can be tremendous races. In baseball, I mean, it's one thing to have you get a race with two teams going like in the case of Oakland and Los Angeles Angels, but you get three good teams. I mean, like Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, St. Louis. Oh, well over 500. Three solid teams. I thought Milwaukee would have a bounce back year this year, so I'm not surprised that they are where they're at. But Pittsburgh and St. Louis are playoff teams last year, so outside of the Cubs, I mean, the NL Central is a very tough division. So we're seeing that with how these teams have played here in the second half. Story out of Florida, out of Miami, is that a report that the Marlins will not re-sign Giancarlo Stanton. I don't know why. I don't know this to be completely true, that this is set in stone, but again, you know, usually when these games come out where there's smoke, there's fire, you're talking about one of the premier sluggers in all of baseball who's only, 25 years old, if that. I think he's about 25. You know, if you're a Marlins fan, you know, God bless you. I mean, you do have two championships. You do have two rings, but the rebuilding, you know, you think you get a new stadium that the team's going to be fully committed to winning. Now having reports about their big start, and they have talent. I mean, their best pitcher, of course, is out. I believe the Tommy John's injury, Fernandez, for the season. He's one of the best young pitchers in baseball. But, I mean, this is a team with a ton of talent, especially with the pitching and offensively. So they're not that far away. I mean, they could be a playoff. If things go right for them, next year they could be competing for a playoff spot. Haven't played bad baseball this year. But when you start hearing things like this as a fan of the team, if you're a fan of the team, and this is bad. I think this is bad for baseball. I mean, I mentioned it last week, David Price. You know, when a franchise can't keep their best players, I don't see how that's ever good for the sport. You know, it's one thing if the guy turns down the money and chooses to go elsewhere. I mean, we've seen it happen in basketball a couple times. But more times than not, if your franchise has the money, then that guy is going to return and re-sign with that franchise. But baseball, for whatever reason, despite the fact that they have there's more money in baseball now than there has ever been, you know, keeps being, you know, you have certain teams that are continuously going to be farm systems for the big name teams. I mean, Tampa Bay is a farm system. You know, Miami, you know, basically is if they can't keep Giancarlo Stanton, how are you going to be able to keep the pitchers when they get good? It's become a farm system. 347-215-6180 on this latest edition of the Circle Review. When we return, we will preview the AFC North. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Circle Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Serial Crew Review, 347-215-6180 is your call number as we continue to look at the world of sports and to preview football 2014 NFL college football. We'll get on the college football next week. We'll really go into the college football next week as we look forward to that beginning of that season, August 30th, Oklahoma State, Florida State. We'll kick off the season. Not kick off season, but we're going to be the first big game of the season. But we get into the NFL football and the league where no contract is guaranteed. AFC North Division. Last year, Cincinnati was the only team to come out this division and make the playoffs. You had 2-8-8 teams in Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and Cleveland was Cleveland. So will this year be the same or different? I think it'll be a little bit of the same, but I do like a new division champion. Pittsburgh Steelers are my team to beat. I don't see a Pittsburgh team going three straight years without making the playoffs. They're coming off back-to-back 8-8 seasons. They finally have gotten younger on defense. They had a lot of age in the past couple of years that hindered them on defensively. Got some young players coming up the pike. Draft picks, guys that are starting to emerge. I still would be concerned about that secondary and the age in that secondary. Ike Taylor is a fighter. He can play, he's a guy, but is he really a legit starting cornerback at this? Is he a number one cornerback at this point? At this point in his career, he'd be a perfect number two, but number one, I don't think he is. Troy Polamalu did have a nice year last year. He came back nicely. I don't know if he'll ever get back to the Troy Polamalu, who was defensive player of the year in 2010. I don't think he'll get back to that level, but if he is healthy, he still can be somewhat productive. Again, health and age certainly will be a concern with him. The strength of the Pittsburgh team is two big-time strengths. One, obviously, you start with the quarterback, a guy who's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, a guy who doesn't get enough credit for being the player that he is in terms of Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger last year was due for over 4,000 yards. Despite the offensive line struggles, well over 4,000 yards. It was 28-14. I expect him to even be better this year, considering that it seems like he's comfortable with the Todd Haley offense. They do have a running game and Le'Veon Bell. The offensive line should be better than it has been in the past couple of years. Though it wasn't horrible last year, still should be better this year. The depth could be an issue with the offensive line, but depth on most offensive lines in the NFL is an issue. Antonio Brown, Heath Miller and Antonio Brown have some nice receivers. They have, some nice weapons from that standpoint. Again, I think Pittsburgh is going to score a lot of points. I really do. I think Roethlisberger could have the best year of his career with this offense. Again, I like Pittsburgh. Again, I don't see Pittsburgh going three straight years without making the playoffs. There's pressure, but Mike Tomlin is not going to be. Doesn't have to look over his shoulder. That's the one thing about a stable franchise like the Steelers. Three coaches in 40 years. They're not. Tomlin is fine, but there's that internal pressure for them to make the playoffs, and I think they will. I see them win this division at 10-6. Next in line, I would have to say the Cincinnati Bengals, a team probably that has the pound-for-pound, player-for-player, the most talent in the division. Of course, they just gave Andy Dalton the big contract, 6 years, $117 million, though. The only 17 that is guaranteed. I wouldn't make a big deal out of that contract. He, for market value, the fact that he plays quarterback, and he deserved it. I mean, let's be honest. Three straight playoff appearances, division title last year, and he's gotten better every year. I have no problem with that contract. No problem with that contract. Cincinnati has some age in that secondary. They're going to need Dre Kirkpatrick to step up. Leon Hall is not getting any younger. They have some injury issues back there. Pac-Man Jones is not getting any younger. So they're going to need those. I mean, again, Kirkpatrick, the first-round pick out of Alabama, really was a dud last year. They're going to need him certainly to step up. Cincinnati has a very tough schedule. They got a first-place schedule, and they're gonna feel that this they're certainly gonna feel that this year. I think Cincinnati will be in a playoff hunt. I think they'll definitely be in a playoff hunt. I see them going 9-7. No guarantee to make the playoffs, but they'll be amongst the teams that in that wild card hunt. I don't think Cincinnati is. You know, you're looking at teams that are young and up and coming. There's just something. I'm not a Marvin Lewis fan. Andy Dalton, of course, has to do something in the playoffs, but it's more about Marvin Lewis. I just don't think that Marvin Lewis is a coach that can get a team to a championship, to a Super Bowl. I just don't. You know, for his career, 0-5 in the playoffs, and I think that he is the beneficiary of just a tremendous roster. Like I said, that team has a boatload of talent at all positions. I mean, running back, receivers, like defensive backs, whatever, you know, linebacker, defensive ends. I mean, they're loaded. There's no question about the Cincinnati talent. I'm not sure if Mike Tomlin or if they had another top coach, Sean Payton, that they wouldn't be considered one amongst the favorites to come out the AFC. I mean, they have that kind of talent. They should be mentioned amongst the favorites to come out the AFC, but, again, it's the coach. It's the coach. I'm not a Marvin Lewis fan whatsoever. The wild card team in this division, that can go in either direction to me, is the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore, coming off an 8-8 season, was awful defensively last year. And despite that, they still had an opportunity to make the playoffs. They were 8-6, and then they got smashed the last two games to fall out of the playoff race. Then Joe Flacco needs some help. They have brought in Steve Smith. Now, again, Steve Smith is 35 years old. So keep that in. This is not the Steve Smith of 2011, 2010. The Steve Smith is older, but from the reports I've heard, that he hasn't played. He's played great in camp. But the bottom line is, you know, you have a decent offensive line. Torrey Smith is one of the better deep threats in the league. Dennis Pitta will be back healthy. So they have some weapons. Flacco was not as bad. It's not as bad as he looked last year, though all the pressure was on him. And he's not that type of quarterback. You can't put everything, like a Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, you can't just put everything on him and expect the team to flourish. He needs a running game, and to me, that's going to be the key. Obviously, with the improvement of their defense, the key to the Baltimore Ravens is their running game. They thought that Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice was going to be a devastating combo last year. It didn't work out. Ray Rice put all the personal stuff aside with Ray Rice and what's going on in terms of him and his wife or then fiance. He was awful last year. Ray Rice is awful last year. Their running game only as a team averaged about 3.1 yards a carry. So I don't know what Ray Rice – I mean, Ray Rice should be in the prime of his career at this point. I think he's only 27, 28, so he still should have a couple good years left. But who knows? They're going to need to get that running game going in order to keep the defense off the field and also just take pressure off Joe Flacco. Again, I like Baltimore to be – around 9-7, 8-8, I would say they're headed towards another 8-8, season. Key part of the schedule to me is right off the bat with they host Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, they're at Cleveland, and then they have Carolina, and then they have Carolina and Indianapolis. A tough outside of Cleveland, and that is a tough five-game stretch. I mean, this season could be over. I mean, their season could be over in that five-game stretch if things go bad. You know, they're 2-3, 3-2. They should be in decent shape, but that is a tough stretch of games. To begin a season, and of course, filling out the basement of the division is going to be the Cleveland Browns. Now, again, the Browns will be box office Johnny Manziel. But looking at just strictly football, they have a lot of holes on offense. That running game, you know, Ben Tate, you don't know what you're going to expect out of him. I've been hearing good things about this Terrence West, but he's a rookie, so who knows. Josh Gordon's going to be suspended either for half the year or the entire year. I was leaning towards maybe the entire year. So who are you throwing the ball to? I mean, they do have Jordan Cameron. They signed Miles Austin. I don't know how many miles he has left in the tank. He has left in the tank. I don't know, like, Andrew Hawkins was a decent player that came out from Cincinnati. I just don't see, I mean, they could be a top 10 defense easily. They have a number of good players on the defensive end of the field. But I'm telling you right now that offensively, I mean, they have question marks at almost, with the exception of Joe Thomas, the all-world lineman, they are a number of question marks they have on offense at the most important positions. I mean, they think about it. Quarterback, question mark. Wide receiver, running back. There's all question marks. All their skilled position players on offense, they have major question marks at. How long, the question going through this season for Cleveland is, how long will Brian Hoyer keep his job? Because he's doing this woman and keeping the seat warm for Johnny Manziel. Despite what the franchise has said about Johnny Manziel, despite the back and forth, the split down the middle, they really want Johnny Manziel to have this job deep down. They really do. And, you know, that's all there is to it. Brian Hoyer is a backup quarterback. I think anybody knows anything about football who's watched Brian Hoyer over his career knows that he's a backup quarterback. And, you know, Johnny Manziel has done nothing as up to this point to take this job. So, but I'd say by week 3 or 4, this will be Johnny Manziel's job, and then we'll see what transpires from them. Either way, they're 5-11. Maybe they can get 4-12, 5-11 team. I'm not giving them 6 wins. If everything breaks right, maybe 6-10. But 4-12, 5-11. So Pittsburgh, team to beat, will make the playoffs. Cincinnati, playoff contender, I think looking at 9-7. Baltimore could win the division, or they could be finishing last, possibly. Who knows? I'm looking at them as being 8-8, and Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns, I'm looking at them to be in finishing last place. That is the preview of the AFC North. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. Back to this latest edition of the Silicon Review on this, again, 9th August 2014. 37 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. NBA, a lot going on in the NBA. Again, there's been a major buzz about this Kevin Love deal that seems to be inevitable that it's going to happen. There have been some reports that the NBA could be looking into Cleveland possibly dealing with Kevin Love before the particular allowed dates in terms of negotiating contracts. There's nothing that's going to come about that because there's nothing that's on. That's nothing. Let's say they verbally agreed to a contract extension. Unless the NBA has a copy, unless that's on paper, or the NBA is tapping the phone lines of Cleveland and Minnesota, there's no way to prove that. So I don't expect anything to come about that. Kevin Love, the question will be, once he signed it, because remember, he has 1 year left on his contract this year at about $15 million. So it's not like he hasn't made any money. If you're Kevin Love, do you sign the extension? I mean, you could sign an extension 5 years, $120 million, but you can also wait to become a free agent and sign for, 5 years, $130 million. So, I don't know. I mean, do you sign an extension? That'll be the question going throughout the season. It'd be very interesting. Now, that question will be answered quickly because either he's going to immediately sign the extension or he's not. I don't see it just be a case where once that trade is completed, he waits until January or March to sign an extension. I say either he signs the extension right away or he says, I'm going to weigh my options, become a free agent next July. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, it seems to be basically a foregone conclusion that Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and a number one pick will be headed to Minnesota, along with also Thaddeus Young. So the Sixers, the Sixers have also gotten to this trade where Cleveland will get Kevin Love, and Minnesota really has a chance to come out well in this trade, considering trading a star in his prime. You get Andrew Wiggins, a number one pick next year. I don't know where that pick will be unprotected or not. It shouldn't be. It should be unprotected because it's going to be in the 20s because Cleveland is going to have a big season this year. But still, you get an improving Anthony Bennett, a potential star in Wiggins, and an established player in Thaddeus Young. That is about as good as you could hope on doing, considering they had very little leverage with Kevin Love as far as knowing that he was going to leave. Now, again, I still would have, I know they might have had Klay Thompson, David Lee, and the number one pick of Klay Thompson, David Lee, and Harrison Barnes, but, Golden State did not want to put Thompson in the deal, which, I still think is a mistake. But I think Minnesota is going to do well here. And, all the pressure now, LeBron, he's kind of, and this is another question mark if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, LeBron is making all these moves. I mean, he's basically the pseudo owner of the team. So he is the puppeteer of this as far as this goes. There's no excuses. They're going to get Kevin Love. They're going to have Irving. They're going to have himself. They're going to still have Deion Waiters, Vergil. They're going to have a lot of weapons. They signed some shooters. They expected to, they have Ray Allen, James Jones as turning shooters. They expected to get Sean Marion as well. So all the pieces are going to be there, to make a championship run. And, the ball's going to be in his court. But, again, that trade is going to I trade without question, it's going to happen. Kevin Durant takes himself out of Team USA for this year's World Championships. He cited, mental fatigue. He cited, wanting to get ready for the season, for the upcoming season. I don't know how. I don't. I don't know. I mean, what do you think of Oklahoma City? Now, Durant did play more minutes than anybody in NBA in the NBA this year. He had to carry a load with Russell Westbrook out, but you know, you did have Ibaka and guys like Reggie Jackson, excuse me, step up. I think this makes Durant look, you know, kind of weak. I'm sorry. I like, dude, you're 25 years old. So you're 25 years old. You played. It's not like you played 42 minutes a game. You played 38 minutes a game. Again, I can go through the numbers of how many. I don't know what it is in today with today's players, but I'm telling you, 5, 10, 15 years ago, a number of players used to play 40 minutes a game in the NBA. A number of them. And, you know, like, it's not like Oklahoma City has had long playoff runs, like making it to the finals, like Miami and San Antonio has had in recent years. They were lost in the Western Conference Finals this year. They lost in the Western Conference Finals the year before last, and they were in the NBA Finals in 2012. But, like, I don't get it. The impact of this decision, but from a leadership standpoint, from a best player on that team standpoint, you can't bail out. I mean, it's hard. You can't bail out on your team like that. I mean, you just can't. I'm sorry. Like, you know, guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, those guys knew off the bat, hey, I don't want to make this commitment, so I'm not even going to get into it. That's what you have to do if you're Kevin Durant. You get into a couple of practices and one scrimmage, and then you're out. Mental fatigue. You're 25 years old, and then you have Jerry Colangelo come out saying he didn't look the same. I'm like, is he injured? I'm hearing conflicting reports. I'm hearing Brian Windhorst saying that he's killing dudes in practice, in these drills, and he's after practice drills. He's doing after practice drills and King of the Hill, where he's destroying Paul George. And then I'm hearing, you know, from Jerry Colangelo, he didn't play with the same vigor or the same spirit, basically, during the practices and what have you. Didn't look like the same Kevin Durant. I'm like, which is it? Did he feel pressured to play? Was he not? I don't understand. Like, again, if you're Kevin Durant, you have to finish the job here. I mean, it's one thing if you don't play in the Olympics. That's one thing. But to get to this point and to pull out on your team, it makes no sense. Especially with the Paul George injury. And again, I could care less whether or not the USA wins this World Championship basketball. I frankly could care less. I mean, we've won gold medals. We've won World Championships before. I mean, it's not a big deal to me. It's really not. I'm watching. You're watching to see young players develop. Derrick Rose has come back. Things that you're looking for things like that. But overall, you know, football's coming up. It's not that big of a deal. But you know, again, Durant at this time. At this particular time, at this point in time, USA Basketball needs him. I mean, you don't have LeBron. There's no Kobe, of course, you know, being close to retirement. He is the figure. He is the, you know, the figurehead of this team. He is the guy on this team. He's the face of American basketball right now with LeBron not participating. You can't bail out like this. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Coming up on this special edition of the Silkroom Review, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Yes. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Silk Road Review. 48 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports, we'll continue our NFL preview next week. Go through a couple of divisions. I only went through one this week, so we'll have to pick up the pace here so we can complete it, so we can complete the entire league. We'll go AFC West. We'll go AFC South and AFC West next week, so we'll be done with the AFC so we can move on to the NFC. Also, we'll talk some SEC football as well, so that's a preview of the up-and-coming Cyril Quinn review. Dean Blandino, the NFL Vice President of Officiating, found on a party bus commanded by Stephen Jones, son of course, NFL owner Jerry Jones.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, listen, you can't have that kind of position and be on a party bus with a, you know, it's one thing if it's a couple of friends, if it's friends of yours who are not connected to the NFL and you're on a party bus, but you're talking about the owner or son, the owner of a son, the son's owner of a team, a major executive of a team that you officiate or that you're part of. Like, you know, the NFL has to do something about that. I mean, like, what is the NFL going to do about this? Because there is, to me, a compromise. When I talked about this last week with the Ray Rice thing about as far as integrity of the league, there has to be a conflict there. He's the vice president of officiating, partying with. Again, I don't know if Stephen Jones was on the bus per se, but this was a Jay Glazer, you know, tour or something that Jay Glazer is doing. So I think Stephen Jones was on the bus. It just can't happen. And again, I'm very curious now. You know, Roger Goodell. All eyes are going to be on Roger Goodell as basically the judge and jury at the NFL as far as discipline, player conduct, and things of that nature. This is a black eye for the league here. I mean, I'm not gonna make it. It's not Tim Donaghy, okay? But if you're the other, 31 teams, you're like, what's going on here? Well, the Dallas Cowboys gonna be getting calls that we're not getting? No, more than likely that's not gonna happen. But you don't even want that to be even a possibility or for that to even come close to existing if you're the NFL. NFL doesn't need this. In other words, NFL does not need this. All the issues and stuff that are going on in the NFL, concussions, players getting suspended left and right, this is the last thing the NFL needs. I expect some action needs to be taken by Roger Goodell. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. But this is a lot much more serious than what you think it would be on the surface. I would have to think that there had to be some disciplinary action going towards Dean Blandino, without question. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, change. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back.
Step by step, all the happy saints go marching in. If a saint step out of line, you have to start again. Cause Jacob's golden ladder get slippery at the top. And many a happy-go-lucky saint has made that long, long drop. If I'm late, don't wait. Don't stop me. Thank you.
53 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the Circle Review. As we discuss the world of sports, we began the program talking about two inevitable changes that are transpiring in the world of sports right now. One, in the golf world, where, again, Rory McIlroy is dominating another Grand Slam tournament. McIlroy is seeking a fourth major, second this year. Already has been a brilliant and young career. Seeking to become the third golfer in history to win four majors before, I think, you know, by the age of 25. Has a one-shot lead over Jason Day and Jim Furyk at the PGA Championship in Valhalla. You can see some records broken with him in before this tournament is over. There's been a lot of rain. The greens are soft. So I don't be surprised if he's, you know, like 19 over comes empty. Listen, again, he's only one shot up. You see, there are a couple of guys, you know, Phil Mickelson's is in the mix in this tournament. But right now, the way McIlroy is playing, the momentum he has, the groove he's in, seeking a third straight golfing win, a third straight tour win. I'd be shocked if he's not holding that Wanamaker Trophy Sunday around 7 p.m. I really would. And it's not coincidence that with the rise of and dominance of McIlroy, we see the demise of a legend, of a guy, of a transcendent figure in sports in Tiger Woods. These things in sports don't happen. They kind of run in cycles. When they happen, chances are it's not a coincidence. Michael, you know, Magic gets older. I know he had to retire because of the age. Lakers dynasty goes away. The Bulls rise. Chicago goes to six titles. The Oilers take out the Islanders. Islanders go away. Oilers win five Stanley Cups. Becomes Wayne Gretzky's league. Mike Bossy, Wayne Gretzky. Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy. The cycle and nature of sports. And we are seeing, again, a major changing of the guard in the world of golf and also in the world of college sports with the Edelman decision, 5 years in the making. By 2016, football and basketball players will be eligible to receive an upwards of $5,000 a year. $5,000 a year in terms of compensation, but no more than $20,000 to total 4 years, possibly $40,000 after graduation. Chump change, yes, but it marks and signifies a beginning of the end of the college model as we know it. The Power Five conferences having total autonomy in terms of how they're going to be able to run their conferences and to basically it's going to be a situation where you're going to have these conferences having an arms race as far as trying to get players. Forget about scholarships and playing time. It's only about, I can give you $200,000. I can give you $250,000 and possibly maybe a future Nike contract. I mean, things like that. I'm tossing out crazy things there with the Nike contract. But that is where the college model is headed. The college sports is heading, towards being more of a pro model, and which it should be because there's no more amateur sports in college athletics. That's it. There's no more amateur. Forget that amateur athleticism. This is big business. It's billion-dollar business. So these athletes should be compensated like professionals. So you can see unions coming. Agents can be getting involved. They say it's going to appeal the Urban decision, but who knows how long that's going to take. But This is going to be the new college sports system, and the death of the NCAA. Yesterday was the Urban decision was a historic, historic decision. 20, 30, 40 years from now, we're going to be looking at that, particular decision as the day the NCAA died. It's without question. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Silicon Review. Have a great weekend. I'll see you next time. So long.